eyes. Twitter pictures blurry. Twitter pictures blurry. Hockey knowledge kinda nerdy.
Hockey knowledge kinda nerdy.
Guarantee them a lot, but we got them on the spot. Ian Mack. Ian Mack. Ian Mack. Ian Mack. Ian Mack. Ian Mack. Ian Mack.
Good morning, Ian, from Sin City. I'm assuming that you're not putting the sin in Sin City, my guess is.
No, too much work for any of that.
No free tattoos, Ian?
No, but I did get my head shaved because I figured that would grow back, and you know the tattoo is forever. So
that makes two of us getting our heads shaved this week.
You and James both.
Yeah, it's a crazy atmosphere here. I don't know how it came across on TV the other night, but it's just a fabulous atmosphere around and inside the rink, and it's what I thought it would be because I was here for a couple of games late in the season, and it was the funnest place in the NHL to watch a game this year, and it's at another level now for the playoffs. So
well, let's get into this series in just a couple of moments, but I do want to touch on a story that you had on Sportsnet.ca over the last day or so, and that's involving you had a chance to catch up with Brock Besser in his first real public comments since kind of going down with the injury. What was your takeaway, and how's the flow doing?
Well, he sounds great, and he's taken his family to Hawaii, so he's excited about that. A young guy going to Hawaii for the first time with his siblings and his parents. So if, on a personal level, he sounded great. On a professional level, he's obviously relieved that his wrist at this point isn't going to require another surgery. He had, of course, had an operation on it in his second year at North Dakota. And when we think of Brock Besser and we think of North Dakota, we think, man, how long ago was that now that he was in college? Well, actually, that was only 2 years ago. He was still in college because he did so much in his rookie season. But, you know, he's excited to get healthy and be even better next year. But, I mean, it's good news that when he hurt his back, it was, I'm forgetting the name of it now, the transverse process. It was the little bone and not, you know, the actual vertebrae. And it's good news that with his wrist, he can get the treatment, a non-surgical treatment on it, basically an injection and then a mobilization. But these are still injuries that's going to delay his summer training. Now, it should only delay it till, you know, sometime in May. Should be going full, be able to train fully sometime in May. But, you know, it's still a little bit unsettling because he is such a young player. These off seasons are so vitally important to everybody, but especially young players. But, you know, overall, it's good news that he's going to be able to train soon and should be fully healthy for September. He also knows, by the way, that the second season is going to be harder than the first, and he is determined not to have any kind of sophomore slump, and knows that, you know, he's going to have to train even harder this summer once he gets going than he did last year.
Yeah, and there's, you know, the Sedin's leaving puts a little bit more weight of expectation onto his shoulders as well. Plus, maybe a new contract at some point this summer. You think the Canucks still plan on broaching that subject with Brock at some point after July 1?
I do. There'll be a discussion. I don't know how serious that discussion will be. You know, there's obviously no urgency here to get a deal done. And, you know, in Besser's case, if from his perspective, if he has follows his 29 goal season, he gets, you know, 35 next year, or 40. He's going to be in an even stronger position contract wise next summer rather than this one. And so I'm not sure that there's there's going to be the will on both sides really to try and get a deal done this summer. But it is something that will be discussed. And if I'm the Canucks, and I know I'm in the minority of this, it seems, in our market, I'm going to try and get him done sooner rather than later, because I don't think he's going to get cheaper over time.
Ian McIntyre, our guest here on Sportsnet 650. Dan Riccio in with James Cebulski and Myra Lawrence. So the series you are covering in Vegas, the Knights took game one over the Kings, the playoff-hardened LA Kings. And you talked about their window closing at sportsnet.ca. And keeping this with the Canucks theme a little bit, Ian, the whole of California teams have a window closing that, you know, the Canucks in the next couple of years have to be kind of ready to pounce on that once Anaheim, LA, and San Jose kind of go into a forced rebuild mode of some sort.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation, that the whole division could be upside down 3 years from now, with the California teams at the bottom half and the Canadian teams on the top half. So there is some urgency there. San Jose, to me, and I'll get to each team quickly, but San Jose to me has done the best job of kind of replenishing on the go and trying to, you know, keep themselves at a top level. They've got young players. They've done generally over the years done a very good job of drafting and always having other players ready. The Anaheim Ducks, they've got some really good young players as well, but they still rely so heavily, on the players that they've relied on for the last few years, plus Ryan Kesler since they got him. So, you know, they're kind of in between, in the middle, and then the Kings, to me, are the farthest along in terms of their lifespan, where they're down to their last couple of years, where, you know, they're with this group, they're going to have a chance to win something. And it's not really that they're old, but they're not young. You know, these core players that they've retained from their two Stanley Cups, when they won those Cups, they were all still comfortably in their prime, in their 20s, and now there's several in their 30s, but you also have the uncertainty hanging over the franchise of what Drew Doughty's going to do. You know, everyone's familiar with his comments from this season and how much he wants to be paid, and that there's no hometown discount, and made it seem very much he's going to go wherever he can make the most money. And so if Doughty leaves, you know, that's it for this group. You don't replace him, and then you're going to have to take a different tack. So I think the Kings should be feeling some urgency to do something this playoff, because I think their chances are numbered now, and they have not had, you know, they won the two Stanley Cups in 3 years, and the 3 years since they've won one playoff game. So they haven't had any success lately, and I don't think Vegas is going to be a pushover for them. Anyone who thought that, you know, it was midnight for Cinderella and the Kings had all this experience and know-how would make this kind of a day of reckoning for Vegas, I think that's false. I think the Golden Knights are a very good team, and the Kings, if they don't win tonight, if they go down 0-2, they're not winning this series, I don't think.
Ian, we got about 20 seconds here, but you spent some time with Ken Hitchcock. It's expected that he's going to announce his retirement a little later on today. Quick thought on Hitch.
Yeah, well, one of the great coaches, greatest coaches of his generation, a Hall of Fame coach, and just a wonderful guy in terms of building the game and representing the game, because he was a great coach, but he was also great to talk to for media, excellent for fans in terms of being able to try to understand the game. And you know, to me, it's a shame he didn't get a second Stanley Cup at some point, but it's been a fabulous career for him.
Sportsnet 650.